Hello and welcome to Well Talk, a podcast series from VWell. My name is Faris and I'm going to be your host throughout this journey. And today I'm joined by Kai, who's a sports therapist as well as a movement specialist. Kai, thank you so much for coming.
Very happy to be here.
So there's a lot of content online, which is about fitness, about exercise. And it's always like, you should do this, you should do that, you should eat this, you should eat that. So you get this result, that result. There's a lot of noise about that.
Yeah.
So I don't want to talk about those topics specifically. I mainly want to talk about how movement and mental health are like one in the same. So how true is that?
I mean, based off my experience, I think it's very true. I have a lot of people that were working very stressful 9-to-5 jobs, and just with adding a little bit of movement or a little bit of exercise into their life has helped them to adapt to the stress much, much better. They've been feeling a bit happier. They're feeling more accomplished. They're feeling more confident in their capabilities of what they're able to do, which overall will lead or transcend into your work life. So that's, you know, a great starter.
Well, I'm glad we started on that, because I think a big problem when it comes to wellness, when it comes to exercise, is people are after a certain result.
Yeah.
So they look at somebody on a magazine or somebody on an Instagram or somebody on TV and they're like, I want to look like that person. So I'm going to torture myself and I'm going to eat only rice and chicken. I'm going to work out this much. I'm going to walk. I'm going to do these specific exercises because they want to look like that.
Yeah.
And what I think is, when you're going for a result, you're not enjoying the journey.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about how we can change our mindset, how we can enjoy the journey a bit more.
I think in terms of the result, it's not as important, because the more important factor is your journey to get there. How much work you're putting in to get there. If you're putting in more work, your results are obviously going to be better. You know, so it's all based off the work that you're currently doing. If you're not doing anything, then you don't have to worry about the result. It's like trying to get a really great result, but you're not doing anything in the meantime, but still expecting a great result.
Yeah.
It's a bit bogus. I think.
But also what I notice is people like, okay, so I want to start working out. Mm-hmm. That's where it starts. Like, I should get into the gym. I should start working out. Okay, I need to go out and buy all these fitness clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get a personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
I need to make sure that I can work out at the same time for 2 hours, 6 times mm-hmm. a week. I need a meal plan.
Yeah.
I need all these things. So that idea of going to the gym has suddenly become 7 things.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, oh, it's too overwhelming.
Yeah,
I'm not going to do it right now. I'm going to sit and watch some Netflix.
Yeah, I think the trend in social media and in physical fitness now is attacking the gym really, really hard.
You know,
being very aggressive with overtraining, with following a very, very strict regime, and really not having a lot of enjoyment for people. I mean, for people that have never trained before, or people that have never been in any sports, you're not going to jump into a 6-day routine just like that. No one does that. You know, people. That's not how people start to enjoy something. You know, when you start to enjoy something, you do it once, maybe you do it twice, and you're like, oh, I'm really, you know, enjoying this. Maybe you're doing it with a couple of friends, you're having a good time, and then you start to build up the routine of you enjoy so much that you want to do it more and more and more. For people that just jump in and do it because, oh, they were told I need to do it this way, when there is no right way when it comes to taking care of your physical and mental health. You know, there are so many people, everyone copes with it differently. You and I cope with it differently. But at the end of the day, it's what we are, right? So I think people should take baby steps. I mean, even if it's just, I think Terry Crews has said this before, where he just said, just step into the gym and drink some water.
We are the same mind, because I was about to quote Terry Crews myself. I was about to say the exact same quote.
He said, let's just go to the gym and have some water. You know, spend 10 minutes there and then leave. And then the next day, go and do it again. Or maybe, you know, pick up a few weights and try something new.
It's a question of habit and discipline, because that's what happens. We have a burst of motivation, which is very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get a meal plan, get gym clothes. I'm going to run an hour and a half every single day.
Yeah.
And then that motivation goes away.
After like a
month.
And
you've set yourself a crazy target that you can't sustain.
Exactly. I think one of the most important skills in, if you're just going to be training, whether it be if you're seeing a physiotherapist, is goal setting. You know, people need to be able to visualize or feel that sense of achievement when they've hit a certain level, just like in a video game, which is why video games are so addictive. If you're a therapist, for example, and you come to me with neck pain, if I just kind of help you out and there are no objective markers, we call them, for you to see that the pain is getting better or that, you know, you're recovering from this a bit easier, you probably won't stay with me to continue working because you don't know what is actually happening.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's interesting because it brings us back to the mindset. Yeah. And I think it's actually quite a nice metaphor for how people view themselves. So if your main goal is I want to be skinny, because if I'm skinny, I'm going to look good. And if I look good, I'm going to be happy. But as you said, it doesn't always lead to happiness. So we need to try and shift the idea inwards. And I want to know how the effect of exercise affects our mental health. Let's say it's a known fact that even if I go to the gym and I do everything right, I'm never going to lose weight. Should I still exercise for my mental health?
I think that there are other factors than just losing weight. I mean, people think that losing weight is the goal of going to the gym. People think that gym freaks are just there to look shredded and to lose fat. But honestly, there are a lot of competitive bodybuilders. For example, strongmen are not, I would say they are fat or have higher body fat percentage, but they're insanely strong, insanely athletic. So, right, their goal is not to be super skinny and be super lean and look great. Their goal is, you know, aligned with strongmen, to lift really heavy weights, to do certain lifts that low body fat percentage may not help them with.
Yeah.
You know, rugby players as well, if you're going to take a big hit, you're going to need a little bit more cushion.
Some padding.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're not going to be wanting to be lean because there's less protection overall and you're already very unprotected compared to American football, for example. Right. So even if you're going to go to the gym all the time, you're going to see other factors that are going to improve your mental health. For example, your sense of accomplishment. If you, for example, you wake up in the morning and you do your bed, you know, you feel good about yourself that you've just woken up and you've done something to start
your day. You've accomplished a goal first thing when you wake up.
Exactly. And that gives you release of dopamine. And when you come back, it's nice to sleep too, or get into a bed that's made. You know, it is nice. Yeah, so in terms of mental health, so the sense of accomplishment is a really, really big factor. I mean, just stepping into the gym and doing some exercise, you feel accomplished.
And what about the science aspect? Like, are there, I'm not a scientist.
Yeah.
Dopamine, hormones, and does anything get released when you work out that actually does help you with anxiety, stress, and mental health?
Yeah, you do get dopamine releases, for sure. When you, after exercise, you definitely get dopamine releases. The other thing that's really beneficial is your quality of sleep gets much, much better. So when people are saying, or people that have insomnia, let's say they've been to work, they may be extremely tired, extremely exhausted, but they can't sleep.
Yeah.
You know, that's a very common issue nowadays, not to mention people continuously scrolling through Instagram or TikTok, you know, it doesn't help. But just off the physical side, if you exercise and you burn some energy, you burn some calories, you're able to sleep better at night, there's more serotonin release, and you get a higher quality of sleep, meaning you wake up feeling a lot more rested, even though maybe you got the same amount of sleep that you did last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of what comes with exercise is quality of life. Like, obviously there's some stress relieving, but also when you have a better quality of life, you're going to be happier. You have the basics to be happier.
Yeah.
So I actually want to, we spent so much time talking about fat loss because I think that's the main thing people think about.
Yeah.
But it's not just about fat loss. And I think what takes a backseat, which shouldn't, is mobility, posture, joints.
Yeah.
And I know that's something that you work in. So can you tell us how important it is to have good mobility?
Yeah, so that's a great segment, especially when you mention quality of life. I mean, so for us, mobility work is not just, you know, being more flexible. Mobility work directly corresponds to your quality of life as you age and how independent you can be as you grow older. So for example, a lot of people in their 70s and 80s are in wheelchairs, maybe they can't lift their arm all the way up to grab something off the top shelf. All this is directly correlated to strength and mobility. You know, there's a lot of studies, so people obviously know that when people get older, they tend to fall more.
Yeah.
That is also related to mobility, okay? So I'll explain this in a bit of a scientific way, but I'll try and break it down a little bit. So we have receptors in our muscles that give us feedback of where we are. If I were to close my eyes and I were to move my arm, I know that my arm is here.
Yeah.
It's just awareness of that muscle, awareness of that joint. So when you have less flexibility, those receptors go into a space that is not as turned on, meaning those receptors aren't working.
Yeah.
So if I were to have, let's say I were just, you know, torn something in my shoulder and now I'm stuck at this mobility, all the receptors that are here aren't working.
Yeah.
So right now in my mind, that range of motion has now shrunk from this compared to that. So if I can't access this range, I can't use it, that means if something were to happen and I needed to use that range and I couldn't access it, that's where the injuries tend to happen. So for example, older people or senior citizens tend to have more knee injuries, right? So let's say they can't bend their knee all the way, they can't squat all the way down, they can't bend their knees to pray. When they're walking downstairs, for example, and they can't bend their knees all the way, and you need to bend your knees when you walk down the stairs.
Yeah.
that's where they lose awareness of that joint. Maybe they think that the step is closer, but it's not. And then they fall and they get an injury. Okay, so mobility is something that is, honestly, for me, one of the most important things that I've come to find in my job field.
That's what I'm starting to realize because, I'm 30 years old. Yeah. So that's, I think, a good age when you're going from superficial youngster to responsible adult, somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
So yeah, before it was all about like big muscles, losing weight, like that's what healthy is.
Yeah.
But now I feel like I need to focus on mobility because I'm at that age where I'm starting to see the little cracks forming.
Yeah.
Like I want to tie my shoe.
Yeah.
My knees shouldn't hurt this much.
Yeah.
And if that's how I'm feeling at 30, like I actually had an epiphany when I went to visit my family members.
Yeah.
And in my culture, when you get older, you have some kids, you no longer have to do anything.
Yeah.
People do things for you.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at my aunties and uncles struggling to get out of chairs, struggling to get down the stairs. And I'm like, you're 50.
Yeah.
You're not, you're not 70, 80 years old, you're 50 years old. And then my granddad who loves walking and loves gardening and playing golf and stuff.
Yeah.
He's 88.
Yeah.
And he...
That's amazing.
Still does all that.
Yeah.
So I think it's a very important investment in our future.
Yeah.
When it comes to like mobility, joints, like these are the most important things.
100%. I mean,
because you're going to gain weight when you get older.
Of course.
No matter how hard you exercise.
Exactly. I mean, I know I play a lot of golf. I know a lot of older people, 70s, 80s, that have a great swing for that age. I mean, the mobility is crazy. I would, that, like, if that was me, I definitely want to be able to withstand or, you know, retain that much mobility when I get to that age so I can play that standard level of golf. That's that's amazing. And that's what, I think golf is unique in that aspect. But in terms of mobility, the younger you are, everyone knows that the easier it is for you to get flexible. I mean, there's less tension built up. There's less scar tissue overall. It's easier to get flexible when you're younger. So if I have any advice for people that are looking to get more mobile, start earlier rather than later. The older, once you get a bit older, it gets a bit harder for you to, you know,
do those investments in mobility and posture. We want to talk about posture in a second, but do those investments carry on longer? Because I know that like weight loss, I can invest for 4 months in my weight loss journey and then the next 4 months, it's all back. It's back even worse.
Yeah.
Is it the same with mobility? Do you have to keep at it or will the investments last a bit
so
longer?
So here's the beautiful thing about mobility. Let's say I'm a kid that I'm 15 and I'm a gymnast and I've attained my front split. So now I've always, so let's say, like people in the gym, let's say you used to be able to bench 100 kilos.
Yeah.
Now you haven't trained for 6 months and now you can only bench 80. For you to get back to benching 100 kilos is gonna be extremely quick.
Yeah.
Compared to someone that has never benched 100 kilos in their life, it's gonna take them a while.
Yeah,
it's
muscle memory.
Exactly the same thing with mobility. If you've once achieved or attained that range or that skill, you can not just as easily, but it's much easier for you to achieve that again compared to someone that's never achieved it. That's just how it works. I think mobility in most people's minds is a bit boring. Again, bringing back to the fact that they're not having any goals set with it. They're just thinking, oh, I need to stretch for 15 minutes. They don't know what they're stretching, or they do, but they don't know what it's doing. They don't know if there's any improvements. They're just stretching because someone told them that they have to stretch.
There's a big thing about people not wanting to get older.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't people want to get older? Because you have less fun, right? Mm-hmm. But people, I feel like they're focusing on the weight. Oh, I've gained weight from when I was younger.
Yeah.
Oh, my hair's gray, I'm gonna dye it. Mm-hmm. Oh, my skin looks like this, I'm gonna tan it or put makeup on. But the idea of it, you don't wanna get older because people feel like they can do less. Mm. So isn't it the most important thing to invest in mobility? That way you can sleep in that hostel bed even when you're 35 without getting a bad back. You can go climb that mountain in Vietnam that you wanna, that you've always wanted to climb and you didn't have the money for.
Yeah.
You can do these things.
Yeah.
So I think that probably should be the most important thing you need to focus on.
I think people need to realize that this is a marathon and not a sprint. You know, you may like have a short stint of a bodybuilding career that's 3 years, but you're gonna live another 50, 60, 70 years, hopefully. So your investment and your time, or your time investment now, will pay off later.
Yeah.
If you continue this, and I'm not talking like, let's say you're 18, you train 6 times a week, 3 hours a day. You don't have to train 6 days a week, 3 hours a day when you're 40. You know, you can drop it back a little bit, but still continue to get that dose of movement into your weekly life that will help you maintain the abilities that you currently have. So for example, I work with a lot of golfers, okay? A lot of PGA golfers, a lot of amateur golfers, and they all develop the same symptoms: lower back problems, knee problems, elbow problems. And they all start to say that my swing has changed, I feel like I can't swing as far back, and it's obviously made their game a little bit worse, which is why they have not come to me. So when working with them, when you start to kind of implement these things into their routine and they start to be able to play better golf, which is their goal, to play better golf until they're older and enjoy it maybe with their family, with their kids, etc., this is helping them get there, which is why it's kind of built that motivation for them to do it. But it's super important that they build
now,
a routine.
What I'm worried about is that we're adding another layer of things that people are like, oh, now we've got to deal with mobility now. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be that difficult, does it? There are some intense exercises, but there's just things we can do. Can you tell us about them? Stretching in the morning?
I think stretching, so I don't know if you've heard of circadian rhythm.
I have.
So there are
Mine
certain times...
Mine is all over the place.
There are certain times of the day that is going to be better for you to stretch. And that is dependent per person. So for me, it's around 1 to 3. So let's say if I work out every day at 10 to 12, okay? My body now has prepped me extra range of motion for this strenuous activity at 10 to 12, okay? So if I stretch before that or stretch after that, that would be ideal. I usually don't, stretching in the morning isn't bad, but it will help you open up, you know, your arteries, open up blood flow, help you feel a bit more mobile. But for people that are trying to achieve a goal in mobility, let's say they're trying to really push their range of motion, they're trying to get a split that they've never achieved, stretching in the morning isn't the best because you are the stiffest in the morning and the most dehydrated you are throughout the day. Meaning that the less water you have in the muscles, the less malleable they are. So it's gonna feel, instead of a stretch feeling on the muscle, you're going to feel a bit more nervy, a bit more tingly, which is not exactly what we want.
Okay, so I know it ties into mobility, mm-hmm. and I know it's not something you worry about at a certain time of day. It's posture.
Mm-hmm. And big, big topic.
I'm going to sit up straight, and you're doing it as well.
Big, big
We're going to sit up straight whenever we talk
My
about
favorite
posture.
Favorite topic to talk about.
Is posture important?
A bit of a double-edged question, and okay. I'll explain why, and I'll break it down as much as I can. So posture is just a noun that refers to the body at a specific point in time.
Yeah.
Okay, so your posture may be like this now. As soon as we cut the cameras, they may go to this, okay? Yeah. It's just not the way I would phrase is posture, or I wouldn't tell my clients ever that their posture is bad.
Yeah.
Okay, if I have someone like this, compared to if I have someone like that, none of those are bad. Okay, there are some times when we're doing a certain activity that we need to be like this. And there are some times that we'd be like this. None of those are bad. So when we talk about static posture, for example, if your posture is naturally a bit more rounded, which is absolutely fine, if I tell you, or let's say your parents love to tell you, sit up straight, okay? I know just as many people that have this posture, excuse me, that have neck pain and back pain.
Yeah.
So is that now necessarily a good posture? If it's still hurting them and they look like they have a good posture, would you consider that as good posture?
Well, I saw a study recently, and you can tell me if it's true or not. I just saw it on the internet. That you know how they said at school, never slouch in your seat. Mm-hmm. I saw something that said slouching is actually better for your back than sitting up straight.
I wouldn't phrase it that way.
Okay.
But slouching is in no way bad, right? So your back has a lot of joints, more than 30 vertebrae, not including the fused ones. So if you're slouching, okay, your back has the joints to be able to move in those directions, meaning that over time and over evolution, they've developed the ability to round themselves. So a very popular myth that you will hear pretty often is obviously to sit up straight, but also to not round your back when you're picking up things. I do encourage my clients a lot with lower back pain, not all, but some that have really weak lower backs just from all the tension that they've built up, to round their back when they pick things up. Now, I'm not telling them to straight away pick up like a 100-kilo dumbbell with a rounded back, okay? Pick up a bottle of water. Pick up, you know, like a bag of books, or pick up your groceries with a rounded back. As you start to do that, your body or your back develops the ability to tolerate that flex position, right? That's what we're trying to build in training. We're trying to build adaptations to stimulus from different things. If I want to get my shoulder higher, without my back rounding, I'm gonna have to keep pushing that shoulder higher without my back rounding.
Yeah.
So you wanna be able to change positions every now and then. You don't wanna be stuck in the same position, which is the point I think I'd argue the most. But for people, for example, that are rounded and you go to a doctor and he says your posture is bad, you need to sit like this, you don't fix someone's posture by telling them you need to squeeze your shoulders back together. That's just not how it works. If you tell a kid to do a math equation and he does it in another way and you tell him to do it that way, but he doesn't know it, he's not going to do it. You know, it just doesn't work like that. Postures, or people's natural posture, is very, very intricate. It's a very, very intricate system. How we deal with it is through the whole body, not just with that part of your body that is currently in bad posture.
Yeah.
I may have rounded shoulders, but is it coming from my lower back? Is it coming from my knees? It can come from anywhere. It's just how your body as a system is rerouting things to make it more sustainable for you, because that's what your body is best at. It's best at keeping you safe. The path of least resistance is something that your body loves.
Yeah, I'm actually glad we're talking about the workplace, because, you know, we've been talking about like bodybuilders and PG golfers. Mm-hmm. Most of us are not that. Most of us are folk that, you know, go to work, do a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. We want to spend time with our kids, spend time on our hobbies, mm-hmm. Cook, all these things.
Yeah.
And don't really prioritize exercise as much mm-hmm. as we should. But obviously the UAE every year does mm-hmm. the 30x30
yeah.
challenge, and a lot of people get involved. Have you noticed with your clients or just people around you that the atmosphere is different in November?
I feel like people are a bit more cheerful, to be honest. Like my clients that are, you know, a bit more desk bound and they've taken part with Dubai 30x30, not to mention it's very easy to get involved if all your coworkers are getting involved with you. You know, it actually kind of gets fun. You know, there are company outings, you guys go to maybe play volleyball at the beach.
That's the thing, I do want to bring that up because, you know, one of the pillars of V-Well
yeah.
is physical,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like the pillars of V-Well do interconnect with mm-hmm. each other. And
yeah.
that's the thing, isn't it? Because you could do 30 minutes of exercise any 30 days.
Yeah.
You could do it from mid-September to mid-October.
Yeah.
Like, there's no one stopping you.
Mm-hmm.
But is it the fact that there are so many people getting involved that you yeah. feel like you're a part of something?
It definitely does. And not to mention, you get to try new things. You get to meet new people. I think it's a great way for people to interact, try something new, get out of their comfort zone, maybe get a new adaptation to stress that they never felt before that can, you know, carry on even after the 30x30 ends. You know, it's all about building a habit. I think that's what the 30x30 does. You know, it helps you build a routine, which people probably have the hardest time doing. They are on and off, which is not a bad thing, but when they start to stick to routine because they enjoy it.
Do you think mentally the fact that there's a limit helps? Like if I were to tell you, you need to work out 30 minutes a day, every day for the rest of your life,
mm-hmm.
that's like a massive mountain.
Yeah.
But do you think the idea is that only 30 days, you can do it for 30 days.
Yeah.
You can do most things
yeah.
for 30 days. So it gets people being like, listen, it's only 30 days.
Yeah.
And hopefully the hope is at the end of those 30 days, you'll keep going. So
yeah.
do you think that's like limiting it, or because you were talking about setting goals
yeah.
earlier.
Yeah. I think the 30x30 days, it's catchy and it's very achievable, like we talked about. You know, goals that you set have to be achievable. I think that when after the 30 days, people are gonna realize like,
I look better.
Yeah, it's already over. I can continue doing this. You know, maybe they don't have to do it every day like they did, but they can keep some part of that routine into their daily lifestyle now that can continue. Maybe they're not working, they're not walking every day for 30 minutes, but maybe they're walking now 5 times a day because they've already built it in.
Yeah.
They've already integrated it into their routine. So I think that's a very big help from the 30x30.
And this is the thing. I think what we learned from the 30x30 is like other people are important,
mm-hmm.
which brings us to the social pillar
yeah.
of V-Well. So I think what I'm trying to spread, and I think what we're trying to spread at V-Well
mm-hmm.
is wellness, which is looking within.
Yeah.
So trying to take the mindset of fitness from, I want to look good so other people can look at me and then they'll like me, then I'll be happy,
mm-hmm.
to I want to feel good on the inside and
yeah.
that way I'll be happy.
Yeah.
And hopefully maybe a side effect of that is I'm going to look better and people are going to like me, but that's secondary.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Exercise with others is great. And
yeah.
even if it's not always going to be the 30x30 challenge,
yeah.
What would you tell people in terms of like, go out and find a community?
I would say...
And how much does it help when you have a community instead of you just going to the gym, pumping iron for 2 hours?
Yeah. I think doing it with friends is always more enjoyable. Everything with more company is always a bit more enjoyable. For example, I play a lot of volleyball on the weekends. So playing volleyball is a sport that you can't play by yourself, right? You have to have friends around you or just people around you to play with. I have to say that I'm not a very sociable person. I don't like to party a lot.
Even want to come here today.
That's not true, but I just like spending time by myself. But volleyball is one of those times, which is not very common, where I'm having a good time with people that I don't know, complete strangers around me, and I'm not thinking about other things on my mind.
Now, I know we could talk about this kind of thing for hours, But we are going to have to say goodbye to you soon. So I really want to know, what is something that you see people doing or not doing that you just wish more people knew about or knew to do? Like, what do you want to impart with this episode?
I would say just move more is the underlying thing that will hit everything. If you don't use it, you lose it.
It's only as complicated as you make it.
Yeah. I'll make it very simple that way. If you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah.
Right? So if you want to be able to do certain things, you got to keep doing those things. That's how it works. You know, if you want to be more flexible, you have to have more mobility. And mobility and strength are very, very tied together. But there are other ways to get mobility in than just stretching. You
exactly. Because people are like, I work 9 hours a day. I'm not going to go to the gym for another 2 hours.
Yeah.
There's things we can do at work.
Yeah. There's so many things you can do in your office. You know, you have, if you're having neck pain, there are a lot of neck rotations, neck exercises, chin exercises to do at your desk. For the shoulder as well, there are plenty of mobilizations, exercise that you can do that are
still pretty challenging. I think I can manage a chin exercise right now. What do I do?
A chin exercise?
No, let's do one right now.
Okay, we'll do a chin tuck. Not one of my favorite ones, but yeah, like a chin
tuck.
Doesn't
look good. Got the old double chin going on.
I'll give you a better one for the shoulder. So a lot of people have that rounded shoulder thing or have very, very tight lats, which may cause it. I'll give you a little exercise that you can do right here. Just sit it down. So just get your arm up like that. Yeah. I want you to hold the outside of your elbow. So try not to let your elbow turn this way.
Okay.
Does it make sense? And now I just want you to try and lift up your arm and keep that elbow in without doing that. And lift it up as high as you can. You're going to start to feel it through there.
Mm.
Yeah? It's so simple. You're not kind of, you don't need any weights. It's still pretty challenging, especially if you try to push towards the upper end. You can still unlock a little bit mobility. I would still consider this kind of like a dynamic strength exercise. You know, it gets you a bit more mobile, gets you more strength in the lats and the shoulders. It's still beneficial. You can do this for 10 reps on either side. Every time you're taking a small break because you're bored, it's that simple to get it in. You know, you can't not have a couple minutes just to do something like this and then get back to work. You know? You just feel a lot better.
During that Zoom call where you got your camera off, do that.
Yeah, I was doing that.
Yeah. I know you were. And what other things do people need to consider when they're at work as well? Not just these little exercises like posture. How do you sit? How do you not sit? I know we talked about it a bit, but walk up the stairs. Like what kind
I'd
of advice
say
can we
try and take, take a break as much as you can, get out of your chair, walk around a little bit so that you're not stuck in the same position for 8 hours straight.
Is a standing desk advisable or is that a gimmick?
A standing desk is great. I mean, if you want to, it's great to stand every now and then. I mean, the fact that you can raise your desk up and still work from a standing desk, that's perfect. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I wouldn't say that standing up is going to be worse than sitting down. But it's just the change in position is what we want. We want to move around. We want to have our joints doing different things, at least feeling a lot more muscles, which is going to be beneficial overall, even if it's a little bit. Yeah.
Amazing. Kai, thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right. We'll see you for the next episode of Well Talk. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.